Title of today's message is, Have You Been Shaken? And, you know, when we was talking in our meeting, they were saying, who hasn't been shaken? So I want to tell you about starting out some of the shaking that I have went through. When I come and bring a message, it's one of the most important things to me. I want to be right. I want to be scripture backed. But the problem is, and I've had several discussions with my wife, Pastor Leanne, Pastor Hap. I'm a black and white thinker. It's either black or white, no gray. We go into the gray area, my brain melts. I can't grasp it. Little did I know that because, now being black and white is a good thing, but then it can be a bad thing. What I came to find out is that because of I was so black and white, that it opened up the door for the spirit of religion to come in. It was more about the law, what is right, what is wrong, instead of the love of the Father. Where is God's heart in this scripture? And I'm sure there's a lot of other piggybacking, you know, the fear of man, because I want to make my pastor happy. I don't want to say anything up here behind the pulpit that it's not right, because I want to keep him happy. Because not only am I going to be held accountable for what I say here, but he's going to be held accountable for even letting me come up here. So I want to make sure everything was above water. Fear screwing up. Fear of rejection. That, oh my gosh, he got that so wrong. How in the world has he got a license? You know. And I think the church has, and I'm just talking about me. I think the church, we have fell into apathy where the man we trust, the man says the word. I challenge you today to go look at what I tell you, to see if there's anything in it that I may have missed. And then tell it to pastor, and then pastor will say, hey, yeah, he definitely blew it there. I will apologize. I will ask for forgiveness, because I'm not above that. I'm human. I make mistakes. But as a church, you know, and I haven't heard nothing that Pastor Todd or Pastor Roger said that, you know, that threw a red flag up. But when so I'm going to do something different that I've never done since I've preached, and I've preached for a few years. I'm going to go out on limbs to where I felt a unction from the Holy Spirit. I can't explain it. I can't back it up with a scripture other than I feel that it came from the Holy Spirit. It's the only proof I got. And because I took this so important a year ago, I'd have kept it to myself. Nobody would have never knew. But Pastor has been speaking about the love of God. And he has been being stretched. I'm sure Pastor Todd and Nicole has been stretched. So today, I'm going to be stretched. You know, we're in the roots of the church or through Acts. Now, I have no scriptures that comes from Acts. But I want to go back so I can go forward. But read the book of Acts and then just look around and see if you don't see the books of Acts playing out today in our world. Pastor Todd 2 weeks ago talked about, you know, the church being persecuted, and we have like a bubble here in the United States. We have like a bubble to where we're not being persecuted as much as other countries. Let me tell you today, there's people in government that wants to bust that bubble.
There's people in our federal government that wants to be able to spy on people. There's three categories that they're looking for. If you don't think Trump is the Antichrist, that raises a red flag. If you're military or ex-military, that brings up a red flag. And if you're a Christian, that brings up another red flag. Now, why is this? Why is this other than it's just good against evil? You know, the Bible is the Spirit-inspired Word of God. I'll never back off of that. I'll never say anything other. But I believe there is also some other documents that was written that was God-inspired, like our Bill of Rights and our Constitution. So why these three people, these three classes? One of them, this is my West Virginia take on the Bill of Rights. It says, these rights have been given you by God above. Big G, little O, little D. Nobody has the right to take these rights from you. Then you have the Constitution. So why the church? Because we stand on what is right. We stand on what is true. We don't go along with their agenda, whatever their agenda is. Why the military? Why ex-military? Because when they stood and held their right hand up and swore an oath to the Constitution that says they will defend this country against foreign and domestic threats. Make no mistake about it, our government wants to destroy the Constitution. Just look at what they do. But we have a couple in here that has taken that oath. And Trump just falls in because he backs the Constitution also. But there's good news. And all that bad news, actually, we should be the happiest people on this planet. Because James 1:2-4 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let this perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. Here's something else that I never said. Last Sunday when Pastor was doing praise and worship, I was just praising and worship in my own little world. And for a split second, I can't explain it, but it was like, do you feel the excitement? I wasn't excited. I would just praise and worship. I'm like, what's going on here? And it was like heaven, the spiritual realm, was getting excited. Look at the book of Acts. You had thousands coming to the church, but you also had persecution. And I'm thinking, okay, they're excited because good things are coming our way. And then I got to thinking about it. It was like, I don't know. Have you ever been, and this is the only way I can explain it. Have you ever been to the Mountaineer Coliseum and watched the Mountaineers play? What do they do? Before the Mountaineers take the floor, they cut all the lights. You got the spotlights just swirling around all over the Coliseum. You got some type of music playing. What are they doing? They're building the excitement. So when the announcer says, let's bring on the Mountaineers, then the whole Coliseum erupts and cheers. I believe we got that. But multiply it by 1,000. I think God is building the excitement in heaven for the right time. They're getting excited.
Heavenly hosts are getting excited. Demons are shaking in their boots for the time when God pours out His Holy Spirit upon this place like never before. We're going to see Acts times maybe a billion trillion. I don't know. But it's coming. So, you know, another thing is what the church, the ground that the church gives up, the devil is more than happy to take. You know, I was listening to a person and he was saying after World War II that the United States, I don't know the government or what agency, went and said, okay, we're going over to rebuild China because they surrendered. We won. We're going over to rebuild. We want to take missionaries over there to help them through the trauma, help them through the situation. And churches said, no, we're not going. Now, my son lives in Japan right now. And Buddha, you see Buddha temples, Buddha this, Buddha that, all over the place. That's the religion that culture accepted. You know, he sent us, I forget what he called them, Kishi dogs or something like that. And there's one with its mouth open, one with its mouth closed, and one said, speak no evil. Or no, the one with the mouth open was supposed to scare evil spirits away, and the one with his mouth shut was supposed to be for the good spirits. You know, we had it in our house for, I hate to admit, a couple months. And me and my wife started noticing, man, we're arguing a lot. There's discord in this house. Okay, what's going on? And the only thing we could figure was we had these two Keisha dogs or whatever they call them in our house. So I took them outside, took a sledgehammer to them, gathered up the pieces because I don't want to give my demon to somebody else. So I smashed them up, gathered up all the pieces, threw them in a trash bag, and away it went out the trash. What if the churches would have said, sure, we'll send the denominations we've got here, we'll send thousands of missionaries there. What would Japan look like? What would Asia look like if Christianity was their main religion? You see, we dropped the ball and Satan said, thank you. I'll pick it up and run with it. If you don't want to do it, I'll do it. You know, and how much, you know, we talked about this a while ago, about the seven mountains of influence. We didn't have much to do with it. So Satan said, I'll be more than happy to take over. You know, look at our government. Look at our education system. Look at media. I mean, you can't hardly find anything worth watching on TV anymore. Look at arts and entertainment. Look at religion. Look at the family. Look what our government is trying to turn the family unit into. They don't want no longer a mom and a dad, a husband and a wife. It could be anything. You know, pick your poison. If you like it, that's good with us. Call it a family. You know, I just heard last week that another pastor resigned, a well-known pastor. I think they said he had like the biggest, with all of his satellite churches and everything, he was like the biggest senior pastor in the United States. He fell. And he resigned. And I was listening to a person and he was talking about one of the elders, deacons, got up that Sunday, apologized, asked the congregation to forgive them for you know, them missing it or what happened. And he said that the church was committed to help anybody that, you know, may have had trauma because of this or may have had
a wounding because of this. They was dedicated to that, helping them people out. And, you know, you think we're in a fallen, broken world. Yes, there is people that need Jesus, need healing, needing deliverance. You know, for me, I never thought that there's lots and lots of people in a church that needs the same thing. And when I heard this, I don't think this way. But the first thing I thought about when I heard that deacon talking about taking care of the people in this, the first thought that came to my mind was, Roger, when you release this book, make sure your passport is good, because they run out. Now, why? I don't know. It was just a word he gave me. I was thinking about all this stuff, and that popped in my head. Make sure your passport's valid. So something else I want to talk about. I want to go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had a foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Now, of course, we know the rock is Jesus. And this morning, when I was taking my shower, it's amazing how you're just, the Lord talks to you whenever. I mean, there I am showering, and I felt him saying that instead of rock, this is bed rock. Now, I know a little something about bedrock, because when I was working at Swanson's and they was expanding the building, we added an 80,000 square foot addition on. So they had a dozer. It wasn't a D9, but it was a big dozer. And they was pushing dirt, pushing dirt, pushing dirt, pushing dirt to level it out, because they had to come down like 50 feet to make it level so they could build the addition. Well, he got it down about 20 foot, and they hit solid sandstone. And I remember that dozer, it had a ripper on the back, which is just a piece of metal that they stick down in a rock, which is supposed to bust it up to where they can get, you know, a blade so they can push it out of the way. And I remember on my break sitting there watching that dozer drop that ripper and go across that bedrock, and it would just scrape and scrape, and it just bouncing going along the rock. It wasn't breaking through, wasn't getting through, wasn't doing nothing, just bouncing across the rock, making dust and a lot of noise. So what they did was they brought people in. They drilled holes in that bedrock. Oh, it was probably 100 yards long. They put explosives in those holes. And I actually got to stand there and watch it work. It was really cool, because it just sounded like a real loud zipper being unzipped. The bedrock went from flat to hooved up like that. The next thing you know, the dozer's in there with a ripper, drop down, and the rock is just being removed. You see, this church, no doubt in my mind, is built. The pastors have made sure that this church, the foundation is built on the bedrock of Jesus Christ. No doubt in my mind. Now, there's some out there, just like the one that I said, resigned. He may, I don't know the whole story, but I'm just going to say it this way. He may have started out on the bedrock, but then over the years, Satan came and drilled a little hole here. Sowed a little lie, a little something. And then he drilled another hole here, another hole here. and then that made, put explosives in it, let it off, cracked the bedrock, brought confusion, brought, you know, whatever. But it was cracked. Well, I tell you right now, under Pastor Roger's leadership, Pastor Todd's leadership, our bedrock, I truly believe, is not cracked. It is solid. I believe we are heading into a season. The curtain closing, I think the curtain closing is on an old season, and we better be getting ready for a new one. We're all going to be busy. We're all going to be praying. We're all going to be touching people. We're all going to be praying for people. It's no longer going to be the pastor's job. Everybody's going to get involved. Because we are all called. We are all been discipled to do. You know, there's a lot of things that I mentioned that I can't back up. But I truly do feel that the Holy Spirit gave it to me. The one about the heavens excited. I can't back that up with Scripture. It was just a feeling I had, an impression I had. And then more I meditated on it, then I came up with this, God is building excitement. And when it erupts, hold on to your seat. Buckle your 5-point harness because this is going to be a ride like we've never had before. It's not going to be scary. We're going to enjoy it. We're going to be laughing. It's going to be the greatest thing that ever hit this earth. And we're going to be part of it. So those that think that they may be retirement age or retired, your journey has just begun. Our journey never stops until we draw our last breath. And like Paul said, to be absent out of this body is to be present with the Lord. So we all got a job to do. Seek God's face. Seek the Holy Spirit. What is that job? Just like I said last time, Pastor Randy Remington, the president of Foursquare, said, get up and start moving. If you're heading in the wrong direction, the Holy Spirit will get you directed right. So that's why I say today, City Church, everybody that's sitting here, get ready to start moving. Because if you're not moving, I just believe you will be moving. Because the Holy Spirit's going to be just so wonderful. The love of God's going to be poured out so great that you ain't going to be able to help yourself. Because you're going to want, because you feel the love, and the love motivates you to do things. The love motivates you to want to help people, want to love the down and out, want to love the drug addicted people, want to love the alcoholics. You're not going to be able to help yourself, because the love of the Father is what it's all about. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn. I want to just, if you don't mind, add one thing. When someone falls that has major leadership role, and I don't jump up and down and start getting religious about it. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. It says, you know, bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing. And there's a humble spirit that's required. It says right here, this is Galatians 6:1. Brothers, if anyone's caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. I highly resist jumping in to make opinions. I hate it. I am not God. And there are people that jump all over stuff and just start, it's like, whoa, man, watch out. You're sowing stuff you don't even know what you're talking about. And then even when you know it all and you get every side of it, Then you just break down in grief and intercede. You don't go after... Gosh, it just makes me want to weep, like you're talking about, because I was talking to some guys on the street, walked out, I guess it's Friday. I don't know if you know a fellow named Steve, but anyway, he said to me, oh, you're here. He said, I was here a long time ago when you had those Tuesday night meetings. Hey, Amy, you remember? And Ted, this is my team. Ted and Amy were the team. And we had these meetings over, before we were meeting in the church, we were doing these Tuesday nights. And I had my guitar. We had some video teachings and we would discuss. But there was a, it grew and it just kept growing. It grew from 12 people to about 60 people. And he didn't have a spiritual language to talk about it. But he said it was so cozy. So I said, you mean where the Holy Spirit just warmed your heart and you felt loved by God? That's it. Because we were in this place where people coming in that were just never experienced the tender grace of God. And there was, how many of you, you know, you come in and there's a lot of backlog of generational curses, traumas, woundings, words that you speak about yourself that just hold you in bondage. And the devil's just laughing the whole time because he's got you so messed up. And you get it in an environment where the Holy Spirit begins to say, this is not who I created you to be. I've got better for you. I'm going to raise you up out of this. We're going to deal with all of that and bring you into wholeness. And people begin to get the sense of purpose from the Lord in their life. And this is what I said. I have street cred. Because I said, well, when I was 9 years old, my dad blew into a rage and he pinned my shoulders to the floor and he beat my face in. Now I've just removed them from thinking I'm this religious guy in the pulpit to a little boy that was broken desperately. And I walked around in the pain of that, shut down, peed in the bed, chewed my fingernails till they bled, messed up. Couldn't walk into a room and without turning on a radio because of all the distraction and static in my soul. And I got saved when I was 17 years old. The glory of God came on me and I wept and wept and wept and wept. And I got up and I didn't know how to say hallelujah, but I could say hot dog. And they say, you look different. And I say, I feel different. Then it went for 16 whole years. 16 whole years. Bound. Saved, going to heaven. Even baptized in the Holy Spirit. But nobody shared with me how Jesus could heal me and deliver me. Nobody around me shared that. I had never heard of spiritual warfare. Never heard of any of that. 16 years before I get around people with an anointing and instruction to help me. I hate what hell does to people. I hate what the pains of life do to people. And the guys, the street cred part, the guys looked at me and says, well, I have trouble forgiving myself. I said, let's pretend for a minute that we're standing in front of the cross and Jesus has just poured all of his blood out. Now, and that, you know that wonderful question, does he need to do something more for you? Are you so special that that doesn't solve your problem? That if he forgives you, what right do you have to hold yourself in unforgiveness when his blood has already done the work? This is the truth of the gospel that we preach. That Jesus Christ has accomplished and broken every power and come to such an extreme depth of understanding all the pain of your heart that he releases you from it, heals you from it, brings you into the fullness of his love for you. And as you've mentioned, over the past 5 years or so, the Lord just opened my understanding to understand the Father, the beauty of the Father, the love of Father God. And it's the weight of the Father's love. I'm captivated by that. I'm captivated by the tender heart of the eternal God. Listen, it's a Roman mindset. It's not a Hebraic mindset. It's a Roman mindset that says he's a judge and he sent Jesus to just die for all your sins. I hate that. Because sin is all about one thing, about severing relationship with the one who loves you the most. And Jesus has come to restore us to the one who loves us the most. And when you begin to taste that, when you come to an understanding that Abba, cherishes you, and that he craves your freedom so much that he sent Jesus to liberate you from every wound and every demonic influence so that you can choose him and love him back. I put all that stuff in all the lyrics of my songs. Can you hear that? I sow it into you, 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 I sow it into you. And then we have miracle moments where a father molests a girl and then she hates Father God because how could Father God let this happen? And then I preach and she goes, hey, wait a minute. It's not Father God. It's me judging Father God. I'm going to let go of that. And then in the middle of the night, the Holy Spirit shows up. It begins pouring the love of the Father into this woman's heart. And she comes to realize after a month goes by that Daddy God is showing up at the precise times that she was molested to heal her heart. That's your daddy. That's our daddy. That's the one that cherishes us. And all of this world stuff, all that's going on around the world, I just want to be so close to Daddy. I want to represent his heart. I want to do the Father's business like Jesus did the Father's business. How many of you are with me? Because when he came, when Jesus, remember, here's how it works in the Hebrew culture. When you're little, you go to that little school and you learn about the scriptures. When you come to 12 years old, it's called a bar mitzvah. And basically what that is you're going to learn the heart of then at 30, it's the 12 and 30. This is kind of the Hebrew thing. It goes like this. Okay, now the dad's going to teach you his values. And then when you're 30, he's already been explaining the Father's business to you. So now you become 30 and you start doing the Father's business. And the Father's business is redemption through all that Jesus has done. So you take what your testimony of redemption and you share it with somebody and God begins to release his spirit of redemption in their heart. Can we start doing more of that? Let's don't keep the treasures to ourselves. Right? How we doing? Forgive me for just... There was another thing and I forgot what it was. Let's lift our heads to the Lord as we praise him. Hallelujah. I just want to just go ahead and close your eyes, but down here in the front, a lady in our church had a vision of Jesus taking her hands, and she was in a little sundress as a child, and she was dancing with Jesus in a field of flowers, and he healed traumas by doing that. A vision with Jesus that heals the wounds and traumas. We probably all had some of those moments. I had a moment when I was praying for somebody. There was a team of us praying for a person. It was really, they had such trauma in their past. And I sat down. And the moment I sat down, the Lord showed me a picture of Jesus being in a pup tent with me. And the pup tent was actually inside of my heart. And Jesus said, "I like you." And I began to weep. I wept for 3 weeks after that, because I knew that theologically Jesus had to love me because God is love. But I didn't think he liked me personally. And the Lord showed up inside of me with this unusual little vision and said, "I like you." And those words went in, and I began weeping. And over a period of 3 weeks, I discovered that he was healing and taking away the trauma of me being beaten by my own dad. This is who you serve. This is your God. This is who he really is. Everybody in the room at some time or other has had a devastating moment. And the devil came in and lied to you about God and lied to you about yourself. And Jesus comes in, and if you let him, he'll come into that devastating moment and redeem the whole thing. I just was on the phone this week with a man. You wouldn't believe this testimony. Maybe we'll have him come and just talk. Whew. But when he was a little boy, little kids wanted to play with him. They were mean. And the boy hit him in the head with a rock, and the girl threw dirt in his face. And there was much, much more than that, because you guys, we have our own pain. I'm ministering to people now. I can't even wrap my head around how damaged. And yet Jesus reaches into the uttermost pain, uttermost pain. I don't think there's, if there is, but his own mother raped him. That's some pain. He was raised on the streets, car theft, fornication, fighting, in and out of rehab, in and out of juvie, married and divorced 2 or 3 times, finally ends up in prison. For 13 years, Larry Titus shows up. He begins to experience the love of the Father. Larry says, "You need to minister to this couple. I love the redemptive power of Jesus with all of my heart. I love the Father with all. I can't even wrap my head around. The beauty of his love is so far reaching. It's amazing to me this couple is even married." And I can't even explain how it works, except it does. I'm on the phone with them. She says, "I have these perverted thoughts that they spit themselves up on my imagination. I can't get rid of them. And I go into this extreme sense of shock and paranoia, and I can't." I said, "Lord, what are we going to do?" Lord says, "Well, was there any time in your life that you were molested or anything like that?" "Well, no, but I got drunk when I was 19. I think maybe somebody raped me. I'm not certain." I said, "Have you ever been seductive and tried to lure men?" He says, "Yes, there was a whole season I did that." I said, "There's a lady in the Bible that did that. Her name's, she represents the spirit of seduction. Do you know who it is?" He says, "Jezebel." "Yes." And that thing started manifesting and we cast it out. But we weren't done. 2 weeks later, I get on the phone. "I still have these terrible, terrible ideas that come in my head and I can't stop them. I feel so sluggish and so lazy and so apathetic and lethargic. I can't fight it." Now, I don't know. I'm just there. Father God loves people. He loves people. He says, "Roger, that's Ahab. I said, that's Ahab. I'm just a little puppet. I'm a little parrot. Daddy says, it's Ahab. That's an Ahab spirit. We're going to command it to come out. It starts to come out. She goes, I've been so rebellious. Spirit of rebellion shows up. You have to go too. Two spirits. They start leaving her. I'm just there. Next thing he says is, memory recall spirit. I said, you got a memory recall spirit. Let's cast it out. It comes out. And then the Lord says, and I'm just there. He says, generational perversion. We command generational perversion to leave. That's a nest, man. That's a nest of demons inside of a person that's tormented day and night. Nest. They all go. They all go. I'm talking to the husband. He says, by the way, I want you to know, every time she starts to tell her testimony of what happened, she just begins weeping because she's so free. Nobody could do this for me for 16 years. Nobody could get down into the pain of my soul and command hell to leave me. I'm not backing off of that. Isn't freedom to love the Lord wonderful? How many of you have had stuff just leave your life? And you just say, so this is praise the Lord right now. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't he good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jack Hayford shared something years ago. He said the church was like the shaft of a spear. And he says anytime he goes out to minister, it's like the point. And that's how I feel about it. Because, you know, all I was a broken kid who God said, you're not busy doing anything. We're going to put you in the ministry and heal you as you go. I've been trying to get better the rest of the time. And I never assumed I was anything. How many of you feel that way? I don't put a big title on myself, right? But I get to do what God made me to do. And my passion is that you get to do what God made you to do. One other thing. Is this okay? I'm just sharing all this stuff. I was in Huntsville, Alabama. And Shonda, our district supervisor, had hosted this beautiful workshop for all the people that are close to retirement. That is called one thing called convergence. So it's all the things that the Lord's done in you. Look, Todd is an amazing Bible teacher. I love Todd's teaching. He's way better at it than I am. I kind of focus on one area. Everybody know that? That's why we want broken people coming in the house, because they get loved. They get loved. They feel the love. There's no arrogance. Oh, looking down on people. Because we're all there. Everybody's broken. Everybody's needy. Anybody that walks in, complete love and acceptance, just like Jesus would do, right? That's what it is. People not used to that. They're not used to coming into a church dressed funny and somebody not, usually it's like, ugh. I hate that. I hate that. I hate that. Bible's against that. Are you there? Man, I'm just rambling on. Hey, you did a good job. There's no correction. Because you're traveling down the road and you're crying out in the nature of how God's made you, Glenn. You're crying out saying, show me what's going on. Show me what's working. I want to be part. And you're carrying something. And you're carrying an eternal hope that wants to spill out in the temporary, that says, all the glory you've got in heaven, I want to see it here. You carry that well. Would you just extend your hands to this guy? And the Lord's redeeming your family. It's amazing. Go ahead and lift your hands up. That's okay. Let it roll. Let's pray in the Spirit, guys. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we bless Glenn. We bless Janetta. We bless Lacey. We bless little Ryan and Josh and his marriage. We bless this family. And we thank you, Lord, for the curtain closing on the past. and a new stage being set for their heart and their life. And that fresh anointing you have for this family. Okay, I have an understanding that the gift of prophecy is going to increase. The gift of it to minister to people. Anticipate that, okay? Anticipate that. The gift where you just start knowing stuff. And see, all we are is people that just showed up, kept showing up. God says, I got a lot of people to heal. Would you be available? Yes. And you make these commitments, and then the next thing you know, you're doing stuff you didn't realize you'd be doing. And that's what it is. Right? Don't back off your hunger. And let's all receive that. Don't back off your hunger. Let your hunger increase for the Lord. Would you make a commitment to that? Say, Lord, I will do anything you say for me to do. Amen. Now let's go ahead and pray in the Spirit a little bit. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, come up and see me. I'll pray for you. Let's pray in tongues. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just one last witness, I guess, say. I believe part of the new set, when he shuts the curtain and opens up and there's a new stage, I believe much of our life is the Lord will put us in a place where we have to cry out to Him. And we get good at crying out to Him. And He teaches us. And we really don't know what's going on. We just know something's not right and there's spiritual warfare involved in what I'm supposed to do. And it's a learning process. It's kind of like that scripture that says the Lord didn't, He left some of the nations around Israel for the next generation to learn warfare so that He could test their hearts and see if they could grow up in it and they could pass down how you win these battles, right? And so you're graced in that spiritual warfare understanding. What I felt in my spirit at this very last moment here was this. Receive the next level of training. Because you become more devoted to the Lord. You become more trusting in the Lord. Your heart is purified more. You learn those things that are in your life that He doesn't want in your life. It's not shaming. You learn how to depart from that. You learn, and you become what He, more like Jesus. You become, that's the goal, right? You become more like the Lord. So let's go ahead and stand together. Hallelujah. Have you been shaken? Everybody say, yeah. Yeah, we've been shaken. Has God put more in you than you used to have? Say yes. Lord, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for establishing this next level of work in our life in these days. And I pray, Father, for what is, that there will not be, there will be that bedrock is what we're talking about. There will be the bedrock. That bedrock of having built our lives only on you and not on this world, not in the flesh. Not in the demonic, but on you. We praise you for that in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Love on each other.